Technorama episode 442, Eureka!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Donald Trump told me you might know where to find El Chapo.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm a little maimed and sore, but I'm alive. I'm on the right side of the grass, right?
As Gil Gerard likes to say, yes, very good. Also joining us in the Binary Studio is...
I'm Michael Armenenge. Hello, everybody.
Back from all his home improvements.
Yes.
And they're not home improvements like on this house anymore.
Sound like a little bit of missed out fire in there for a minute.
Oh, hello.
That's right. I love that this is episode 442. It's like one of my favorite muscle cars.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that. Oldsmobile 442.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know what the 442 stands for?
Is it like a train where you have
the four
drive wheels and the two?
No. Well, actually, close.
Oh, I got them on the train thing.
That's actually close. It's a four barrel carburetor, four speed transmission,
two cylinders.
No, dual exhaust.
Yeah. Actually got my driver's license test in a 442.
Wow.
Not the one he's thinking of. It was the later model ones that wasn't so
Craig's was actually
hot.
In a train.
Yeah. All right, 3-point turn.
We will be right back. Coming up in this episode, we have Vader's grandmother passes away, stop playing with your food, and faking bacon. All that and more coming up right after this.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host, Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
You're listening to Technorama.
Where the heck did you get that?
That's Throwback Thursday for you. I think you made that before there was a Technorama.
Probably. Probably. Hey, I like that name. I want to make something for it.
Speaking of why Pluto is not a planet, there was a comic this week where it had Neil deGrasse Tyson saying, "You're not a planet." And Pluto said, "You're no Carl Sagan."
I know. I love all the Pluto memes. That's been really awesome. Actually, this has been a really awesome whole week for astronomy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that the Pluto stuff has just been blowing up everywhere. Everybody's watching. And that's cool because, you know, usually it's mundane crap that I don't care about. You know, Kim Kardashian said something to somebody for some reason. And
so-and-so won on America's Got Talent.
Exactly.
One of the Kardashians. Moons made an appearance itself.
Right.
Is that astronomical?
Did you see Colbert talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson?
No, I did not.
He was trying to convince him to reinstate Pluto for a Klondike bar.
Oh, that's
what would you
awesome.
Do for a Klondike bar?
Yeah, it was pretty
make
funny.
Pluto a planet again.
Yeah, go check it out on YouTube. It was about a 15 minute thing where they go back and forth, and yes, it was pretty funny.
Oh, I'm gonna have to look for that.
I have to look for that too.
We asked you, the listeners, last week, what video game would you like to see remade, rebooted, or remastered?
Ooh.
Yeah, think about that one a little, Mr. Menegay, while we go through some of the responses, including one from my sister.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow, okay.
I rebroadcast these things that show up on the Technorama feed, and I want feedback to the questions. So, listener Scott from Appleton says, Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a movie called Pixels that has the...
Yes.
Video oh, games God. Fighting yeah. back. Okay, that's all I could picture, and I went, maybe not.
Yeah,
but
no.
Imagine some of these games now with 3D effects or Kinect, or mm-hmm. you know, the technology has changed so much that they would be so much better. Well, most of these would be so much better. Weber says Zork, still with no graphics.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, I would argue with today's semi-sorta AI with understanding text input, that any of the Infocom games would actually could potentially be better.
Oh, with more of a smart engine behind them rather than a key and response thing.
I don't see it on the list here, so I'm going to throw out Defender. I think Defender could be
like
awesome.
A first-person shooter.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
A first-person Defender would be freaking awesome.
And put them like in a Colonial Viper.
Oh.
Because that's what that little ship looks like, right?
Yeah. And multiple views, so you could actually explode out of the cockpit, and you could do side scrolling still if you wanted to do the side scrolling stuff to shoot and actually get in the cockpit and do.
You
something.
Hear that, EA? I've got awesome. Stock. I'm an EA stockholder. I want some of these now.
That would be confusing seeing it straight forward, and then you hit the button to change the view, and all of a sudden it's side scrolling.
If you've done any time on Flight Simulator or even a Apache or F-16 flight simulator.
Yeah.
That's a
top
standard
down,
mode
from the side.
Yeah, yeah. Top down from the sides.
Mean, no, I mean just switching that view would like oh whoa, you know.
It's not as disrupting as you think. It okay, really isn't. Right. It's pretty.
You could still have like the front view as a small
right,
window
and that's exactly
corner.
It. Is it yeah. basically explodes up so that you still have your front head on view because you'd need that, but you could actually get some perspective views or some fly around views.
Or hit the retro button and it goes into the old pixel mode.
with the side scrolling up and down, and that's all. Everything goes two dimensional.
And right. real bodies falling out of the sky. Catch those. Right.
Nice.
Listener Dan writes in E.T., the extraterrestrial, the ones that were buried in the landfill.
Hey. Any remake would be better than the original.
I think so.
Wow. There was just no gameplay in that to begin with. I'm not sure how you could make any gameplay in that.
Right.
Tom says Centipede.
I would be on board with that one. That could be cool.
Yeah.
Especially if it went 3D instead of 2D.
Yeah.
Well, I say what you want about the Pixels movie coming out, but they did that in the trailer. The centipede was coming down and they were shooting up at the... You know, I could kind of see that.
My sister Susette writes Candy Crush Saga. Too soon?
Yes.
Okay. Not sure what else you could do with that. I mean, it's been done to death with a million different versions.
Well, look how many different versions they did of Tetris, too.
Oh, dear God.
And that just kept going and going. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, Candy Crush Saga is an incarnation of Tetris.
Of Jewels.
Yeah, which comes from the same game.
Exactly.
Gameplay. Listener Lisa writes Asteroids, which I think would also be cool in that same vein that we were talking about. Defender, 3D, exploded view, smacked upside the head with a big rock. That would be cool.
Hey, it would be cool to have a first person perspective on that. And it'd be kind of like, it would be like approaching the Death Star, you know, a big asteroid coming at you or something.
But you have to keep shooting it into little bits because it just, there were what, like three different shots to break everything all down into, wow, it was nasty. And then you have, what was it, to make the gameplay even harder, they threw in the enemies that would come and shoot at you randomly.
I'm totally blanking. I played it so much, and I even had the second version, the Vector Line tanks.
Battlezone.
Thank you.
That's kind of where this discussion started, because Battlezone is being remade.
Well, they remade it once already.
It's remade.
Yeah, the remake was okay. I played it for a little bit. But I kept pining back to the old Vector Line.
I think they did it in like 80 or 98 or 99. Did they have the same game controllers where you had, because the whole key to the old Vector game, the stand-up arcade game, was the two-handed controls.
Exactly.
So you could drive it like a tank.
Exactly.
You couldn't do that with a mouse on the PC or the Mac.
And that's where it fell down.
Yeah.
That's where it fell down, was because you didn't have that tactile feel of moving, of running the handles. And
as if they were your tank treads.
Exactly. Yeah. And basically backing up fast and hoping you didn't run into anything while the damn missile was coming in at you.
By the way, you use the term drive loosely when Battlezone.
Well, but I mean, it's still there. It was very immersive because you're looking through that portal, you know,
right.
Even though the graphics sucked. But there was just
by.
There was something about that just it was just
actually
way cool.
There's a lot of cool vector graphics games that were
Asteroids,
cool.
Star Castle, Tempest. Mm-hmm.
Tempest. Yep. Oh, there we go. That would be Tempest. See, could be there's something you could do with Tempest.
And that was a fast-paced,
very fast-moving game. Yeah. Very fast.
I freaked out the first time I saw somebody playing that. I said, How are you? What are you even paying attention to? There's 18 things moving on the screen at any one time.
That was not something you did after a six pack.
So you're calling Tempest a sobriety test?
It was, you know what? It could be an official test.
Battlezone's graphics were like the XKCD of arcade games.
Take you back to the cop car. Okay, you're doing one round of Tempest at full bore.
I give.
Chuck left there doing the Tempest thing with his fingers. Mm-hmm, his thumb and his finger.
Wasn't it like a dial and a
the rotary dial. Yeah, you basically rotate up and around and around with it.
All right, one
love
final
that
one.
Game.
Michelle writes, Turok Dino Hunter. I do not know that game.
I do. It's I
never played it, but I
remember that game.
Was it like
it was
it's kind of like arcade game?
Yeah, wasn't it oh gosh, wasn't it full image like White-Tailed Hunter or the Shark? Shark Hunter.
It was a Nintendo game. It was like it was a home game. I don't think it was
it was never in the arcade. Okay, that's what I was wondering, because
that's
about
where
my history
is. Not the one I'm thinking of then.
Okay, let's do the history thing just for fun.
And wait a minute. Whoa.
What? Oh, you got one, Craig?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I posted it on Facebook myself. Pong.
Pong?
It's your reboot Pong.
Reboot Pong.
Yeah, Pong. Not Prong. Pong.
Only if they did it like 7 days in hell.
What?
Haven't you seen that?
No.
The new movie that's out with Kit Harington?
Oh, my. God.
That is absolute stupid insanity that is just stupid enough to be fun. So,
okay, I'll take your word for it.
He used stupid twice, Chuck. That's
there should be a third stupid in there because it was stupid, stupid, stupid. But it's still there was something that was endearing inside of the stupidity. So,
Mike, let's bring your camera down a little bit. It looks like Donna, can you get him back on the camera?
Yeah,
it looked like you were sitting in a hole.
I am sitting in a hole.
We're talking to kindergarten Mike now. Much better. Probably should have given you a mute moment to do that.
Did we upgrade Wirecast?
No, we're recording to the hard drive, and then we'll upload later, so we don't have streaming capability.
I buzzed my hair so much that with this bright light, it looks like I'm bald again.
Yeah, we could use a makeup artist on this show.
Yeah, I didn't completely shave it off, guys, really.
History time. On this day in history for July 22nd, 2015, this is the 203rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 162 days if you do your math right. It was on this date in 1793 that Alexander Mackenzie reaches the Pacific Ocean, becoming the first recorded human to complete a transcontinental crossing of Canada.
Canada. July 22nd, 1796, surveyors of the Connecticut Land Company name an area in Ohio Cleveland after General Moses Cleveland, the superintendent of the surveying party.
The first ever motor race is held in France between the cities of Paris and Rouen. The fastest finisher was the Comet Jules.
We'll go with that.
Comet Jules Albert de Dion. Yeah. But official victory was awarded to Albert Lemon Tree, driving his 3-horsepower petrol engine Peugeot 121 121 years ago today. I thought that was actually part of it.
Performance just gave me cancer.
A 3-horsepower car. Wow.
Sounds like Speed Buggy. Outside Chicago's Biograph Theater,
Public Enemy Number One, John Dillinger, is mortally wounded by FBI agents 81 years ago today.
Thank you for giving me this one, Chuck.
Just go with it.
July 22nd, 1951. Zick and Saigon are the first dogs to make the suborbital flight.
A little applause for that one. Congratulations, Craig. It was 53 years ago today that the Mariner program, Mariner 1 spacecraft, flies erratically several minutes after launch and has to be destroyed.
Wow.
I forgot all about that.
Not even the dogs had to be destroyed after flying erratically. 24 years ago today, Jeffrey Dahmer is arrested in Milwaukee after police discovered human remains in his apartment.
A.K.A. his refrigerator, actually.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to German-Russian physicist Georg Wilhelm Rechmann, born on this date in 1711.
And also born on this date in 1887, Gustav Ludwig Hertz, the German physicist and academic.
Hey, Craig, want a Hertz donut?
Yeah, my mega Hertz.
Whoever he is, celebrates his 75th birthday today.
Wait, you get it.
Popular show Jeopardy.
Who is Alex Trebek?
Got it.
That is correct.
How clever you
are. I'll take famous birthdays for 400, Craig. Wait, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
George Clinton, the American singer, songwriter, producer, and actor, turned 74.
And actor, director, and producer Danny Glover is 69 today.
Wow, turning 68 today, singer, songwriter, and drummer for the Eagles, Don Henley.
Forgot an S on Eagles. Just fixed it.
Eagle.
There's only one left.
He's solo now.
Actor Willem Dafoe turns 60.
Wow.
And another actor, David Spade, turns 51.
And finally, actor, director, producer Colin Ferguson turns 43.
Nice wrap up. That's the way it was on this day in history for July 22nd, 2015.
Don't worry. Be happy.
We just beatboxed the band.
Love it. Wipe the mics off and let's continue.
All right, we have news. Wait, we got to... What's the wrong one? What?
Good news, everyone!
I hate it when I use the wrong faders. All right, it's not good news? This came from our own Brian Brown, who found this posted on Facebook and said, oh, that's too good to let go.
Yeah, and the comments that have been going around on Facebook on this is just been interesting.
Craig, would you... wait, Mike, it's large font. You can read this.
Oh, yeah. In a week that's been jam-packed with incredible science news, New Horizons classic a class of particles discovered at CERN. This might be just the best thing we've heard of so far. Researchers in the U.S. have discovered a strain of seaweed. They didn't discover it. They created it. That has apparently tastes like bacon when it is fried. And has twice the nutritional value of kale and doesn't have all the nasty carcinogens of bacon. So win, win, win. So are we going to start seeing kale bacon or a seaweed bacon anytime soon?
I don't know, but I want my next sushi wrapped in that stuff.
I know. The possibilities are endless. Sushi rolls.
Use a seaweed derivative for ice cream too?
Yes, seaweed is in everything. I mean, kelp is in everything. That's what I was going to talk about with the comments that were on Facebook. Everybody talking about, oh, how disgusting, how awful, how horrible. You eat it in everything, people. You just don't realize how much of it you eat.
Hey, low sodium, it tastes like bacon, and it's good for you. I'll take it.
Absolutely. So anyway, continuing on. Yes, you heard right. The next superfood will be bacon-flavored kelp, and we can't wait to add it to our well-balanced diet. Mm. The miracle seaweed is a fast-growing strain of red marine algae called Deluce.
Right. The key there is fast growing so they can keep it coming.
Right, exactly. Which grows wild along the Atlantic Pacific coastline and looks a lot like translucent red lettuce.
Interesting.
Scientists already knew that it was packed with antioxidants and vitamins and contains up to 16% protein in dry weight
That's
volume, which is really high. But usually it's harvested and sold dry and as a cooking ingredient or nutritional supplement in Europe. But over the past 15 years, scientists at Oregon State University and in the U.S. have created a new strain that can be farmed, and they've found that it also has some unique taste benefits.
Oh.
There hasn't been a lot of interest in using it in fresh form. Lead researcher Chris Langdon says, but this stuff is pretty amazing. When you fry it, which I have done, it tastes like bacon, not seaweed, and it's a pretty strong bacon flavor. So that is just freaking cool.
That's awesome.
You know what? I'm ready. I live here in the South. I'm ready for somebody to make a huge discovery. Hey, we deep fried it and it tasted like bacon or exactly. But it's great for you.
But the cool thing around here. The cool thing about it is that, you know, all the people that I talk about not going vegetarian is because I can't give up my bacon. Guess what? You don't have
to give
up
your bacon. Now
you can. Exactly.
Oh man. You know what this will do to the vegan restaurant industry?
Oh, it's going to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. I can't wait. I can't wait to try it. I think texturally it's going to be a little different. Although when bacon is crisp fried, if you're crisp frying kelp and you're crisp frying bacon, the texture may be very similar. So who knows?
Well, here's something I want to throw out here. So I know bacon bits, little small pieces, but okay. Here's a good example. You look at a strip of pork bacon, mm-hmm. then you look at a strip of turkey bacon. The turkey bacon does not look desirable. So you tell me,
Because most of the flavor comes from the fat.
Wait a minute. So I wonder if, even though this may taste like bacon, is it mentally going to appeal to you because it doesn't look like bacon?
Depends what you put it in.
That's true.
If you can't see it, you might eat it just for the flavor.
Well, I remember seeing a study a long time ago where they had a blue orange and they would feed it to somebody just to see their reaction. And they were like, oh, this tastes horrible, which it didn't. It was just a blue orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We eat with our eyes flat out. I mean, it is so, every part of it is textural, visual, smell, sensation. Just down to the sound of it when you're chewing and how it sounds when you're chewing it in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I think pigs will be happier.
The pigs will be happier.
Pigs will be much happier.
Oh, that's pressure off us.
And speaking of bacon or pigs or something, let's talk about the birthday calendar.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was
the worst segue ever.
What a segue, dude.
Happy birthday goes out this week. As she goes to the camera with nobody sitting there.
Hey, there we go.
That's who made the comment.
It's Mr. Hand.
Hello, Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand, tell us who the birthdays are this week.
Why?
On the 23rd, we have Dave Perilla from Megapodzilla and Monty Gog's Art-O-Rama. Sounds like Technorama.
Mer Lafferty
on the 25th. Happy birthday, Mer. Aaron Heath and Adam Christensen on the 26th. Just had dinner with Adam last week, about a week ago from the time you hear this, if you're a fast listener. And 27th is wife of Will the Computer Guy.
Nice.
We have people putting their spouses and family members on here. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we wish you all the best as well. If you want to be on the birthday calendar for next year's go around, or maybe it's next week and you haven't got there yet, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and enjoy the insanity that we call this show. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in here, there it is. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hitchbot. Oh, not like stabbing psycho kind of Hitchbot.
Oh, okay.
No, that's Hitchcock. and more.
Sounds
stick
like
around.
A character off Futurama.
Geek Thoughts.
Why does the last 2% of a status bar take 98% of the time?
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi Zuriga. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Happy birthday.
Colin is such an awesome guy.
He was. He was really cool.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
He still is. He's not dead.
Not yet.
Not tagged yet.
No.
I think I'll go for a walk. Where's my electro beep?
Electro beep.
Hacks and strange stories. First up in the Hacks and Strange Stories, we have Hitchbot. Hitchbot is a hitchhiking robot that needs your help getting to California.
Oh, hey,
and he's patriotic as well.
Well, he's been around the block. Normally, picking up hitchhikers is generally a bad idea. You never know what sort of axe-wielding entrepreneur you're going to get. But if you happen to see this friendly LED face on the side of the road, consider giving it a lift. The face belongs to Hitchbot. Roll the picture. That friendly face. Yeah, that one. The face belongs to Hitchbot, a Port Credit, Ontario, Canada, of Port Credit, Ontario, Canada. On Friday, it left the Peabody Essex Museum, the PEM in Salem, Massachusetts, for an adventure on America's highways. Its final destination, San Francisco Exploratorium. On the way, Hitchbot hopes to see some sights, including Times Square in New York City, Millennium Park in Illinois, Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, and the Grand Canyon in Arizona. So I tweeted out to Hitchbot, I said, hey, you get to Arizona, I'll show you the Grand Canyon. Signed, your friends at Technorama Podcast. And
yes.
Hitchbot started for me.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
There's no timetable of when he'll finally get to the city by the bay, because this is all kind of voluntary. And he just left on the 17th. I checked it before the show. Looks like he wandered around Boston, went out in the ocean on a boat, and came back. That's about as far as... So it could be a while.
Might be.
He has already been around Europe, across Canada... And now he wants to do the United States.
Well, it's the U.S. He's probably going to get gunned down.
Taken to jail.
Taken to jail.
It could be a bomb on the side of the road.
Your luck, Chuck. You'll pick him up and Skynet will become self-aware. And then he'll kill
just,
you.
We just talked about that the robots passed the awareness, the self-awareness test.
He's not very large, though. I mean, he looks like he's the size of a garbage can. His body is more like one of those five-gallon pails, paint pails.
I saw this floating by, but again, I haven't been on the internet for any extended length of time in the last couple of weeks. What is this exactly?
Hitchbot?
Yes.
Do you remember watching the movie when you were a kid, Paddle to the Sea, where the little boy carved out the Indian on the canoe and launched it in Canada, and he went down through the Great Lakes of the St. Lawrence Seaway? You don't remember
Absolutely
that
one? I don't remember that one.
That was played at least three or four times when I was a kid.
Hey. Yeah, only in Wisconsin.
I was in Michigan at the time.
Okay. Well, explains a lot.
This
was a regional thing, evidently.
This is a little robot. He's got apparently solar cells to keep his face happy, and he puts up scrolling messages and things on the LED portion of his face, which is that window at the top. And then he's got arms and legs and a little chair that he sits on. When you pick him up, you just flip up the kickstand in the back. Put him in your car seat, buckle him in, and take him for a ride. And he's apparently got a GPS or something that tweets his location so you can follow him on Google Maps.
So it's an iPhone with a solar cell attached to it.
That's probably what those displays are. He's got at least three displays around the inside of his face.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got, I don't know, LED ears?
Or messages. Don't know.
Well, he's a cute little guy.
That's interesting. It's kind of cool. I can see this. It's just a little social experiment.
Well, exactly.
I've seen people do this with little stuffed animals. They ended up getting
right. Or write your name on the dollar and track where your dollar bill goes. Right. Where's George.com, I think is what it's called. This is somebody's pet project. They said, let's make a robot and see how far he gets.
Okay.
So does it have a
camera too?
I don't think he has a camera.
Does it have a camera too? Or
no?
Well, how do they track it? Is there a website?
No, yes. Yeah. GPS.
Yeah. It's hitchbot.me. HITCHBOT.me. I told him we'd give him a shout out on the podcast. And there you go, Hitchbot. Good luck, little guy. Whew. Next up, we have a don't try this on your next trip. Craig, you want to read this one? Since I recently traveled, but you can read all the fun.
Don't try this on your next trip. Okay, let's see. Magician collapses wearing all
musician,
his clothes.
Musician, not magician. First, we have to get Craig to like inhale. Okay.
I like cracking myself up. Musician James McLevar used a sitcom style idea to beat the EasyJet baggage restrictions. Okay. Well, this story does speak to my own heart. Taking all of his clothes out of his bag and wearing them to avoid the fee to check out his to check his bag, only to collapse on the flight from heat exhaustion.
Wow, you are a genius.
Seemed like a great idea at the time. McLevar apparently ended up wearing 12 layers in all, compromising 6 t-shirts, 5 jumpers, 5 pairs of trousers, a couple of jackets, and some hats, although he took some of took them all off once on the plane and had it on takeoff. He collapsed shortly from the exertion of all the
extreme tightness of the
seatbelt. I don't even wear that much layers when I go to a Green Bay Packers game in Lambeau Field in January when it's sub-zero temperatures.
And he was heading for Phoenix. It was 118 the other day.
Idiot. Hey, that's he'd be better
that's
off.
That's an old conversation that we have. That's an old conversation we've had around here for years. Is you have to be seriously committed to be a goth in Arizona.
Yeah. In the summer.
The rest of you goths out there, you're all posers. Yeah. Until you're a goth in Phoenix in summer, you have nothing.
We're gonna have smart goths.
There's some regions that doesn't.
They'll deck themselves out in solar panels and start selling it back to the grid.
Exactly.
Yeah, not so smart, James. Don't try that on your next business trip. Well, we have a new recording label.
I'm all for circumventing, you know, the fees, but that's just no.
Right. You may have seen this one on the internet. It kind of made its rounds.
Yeah, I saw this.
This is the you can turn a tortilla into a playable record, although it sounds worse than an Edison wax cylinder.
Exactly.
Hey, wait a minute. So you can have your music and eat it too.
Right. Here, you got to hear this. So he takes it out. Man puts it in his laser cutter. Right. This will take a couple of seconds to etch the recording. I don't know how you program a recording into a laser. And then he cuts a center in for the spindle.
Wow.
That's got to smell good too.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the needle on and see if you can pick up the tune. This has to be murder on the stylus.
I was going to say. See, realistically, it should be a laser tracking needle.
Oh.
Then, because that's how they do tree rings. That's how they.
This thing looks like tree rings.
Yeah, they cut a sliver. Hey. They cut a slice out of a tree, and then you can actually play back the tree rings. And that's what they use, is they use a laser stylus.
Oh,
so it
neat.
Doesn't actually touch. There's nothing actually dragging across the top of it. It's just basically reading the peaks and valleys in the tree rings.
I think there's a missed opportunity here.
Yes.
He should have played Weird Al Yankovic's Eat It instead of some random crap.
It's a tortilla. No, he played like the Mexican hand dance.
Then you throw it on the skillet and make quesadilla out of it.
Eat It would have been better. Eat It would have been better.
Well, he said he tried a few different songs, but they just didn't turn out as well as that one, if that turned out at all.
Because he kept eating the records. Stupid record.
Yeah, okay, whatever. That's people who have way too much damn time on their hands is what that is.
Yep, that's what I was thinking, like the music on the floppy drives, too.
I got a really cool new toy that cost me $40,000. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to make records out of tortillas.
And it apparently worked.
And it worked.
He got notoriety.
Take over the world.
Put that on your next resume. So I see here you've made tortilla records.
Wow.
We
and
have
taught mice how to play the accordion.
Normally, very at this good. Point in the show, we would give a shout out to the chat room, but we're not streaming live yet. However, we will have a video component. Thank you to my wonderful smart wife.
Hey,
yes.
Would you call it post live?
Post live. We're going to post it to the internet. I'm not sure where you're going with this one, Craig.
It's live to hard drive. It's post show, so it's post live.
It's just
never mind. Just go with it.
We're just gonna record it and upload it later.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't need your help to make me look like an idiot.
And I think we have this week's soundbite right there. 34 minutes, 34 seconds.
Mark.
Mark is right. Anyway, thank you to the people who have donated to the software upgrade. It is coming along nicely. We encourage you to go over to the Technorama website and chuckchat.com/Technorama. Click on the PayPal. You can make a one-time donation or join as one of our regular donating members. And when we get the fundage, we'll get the software upgrade and maybe even get Craig online live with his own camera.
Ooh.
That would be nice
to see. Should we put one of those tally boards like they have in the telephone?
The thermometer. Like the thermometer. The United Way. We'll put it right on the door behind me.
There you go.
Oh.
Look, we're at a total of $12.45. That's great.
Come on, that's awesome.
Our goal is $12,000.
Thank you, mister. I got a penny. That penny you gave me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I actually just bought UHF and downloaded it. That was one that I just have to have on hand all the time.
Yes.
Hey, that is the stupidest, most brilliant movie ever.
I love it too.
It is great.
It's a Twinkie wiener sandwich.
Moving along.
It's not as great as it sounds.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
Actually, I should probably play something like
Good News, everyone! What?
We love Back to the Future, and Back to the Future is now coming up on 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are coming up on the date that they went to the future too.
Right.
In number two.
Yeah,
I'm getting all mixed up.
And we
up
do
now.
Have our floating our hoverboards.
Well, almost
sort of.
Well, we got the shoes.
We got the shoes, and we have hoverboards. They're just it's not quite what was in the movie, but
they're
we have hoverboards.
And there's a Kickstarter project for the Inside Out pants.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I can work
for
on
Nike to come out with the Insta Lace things
and the self drying jacket.
They have those, don't they? They got the form fitting. You slip them on, and the
they're
shoes
supposed to come out with them this year.
Oh,
Nike said they were going to do the self lacing shoes from Back to the Future. I'm waiting. I guess we still got a little bit of time, but
I think this should be our fall party.
Mm-hmm.
Is an 80s party around Back to the Future theme stuff.
That's cool. That'll I like that idea.
We'll work on that. So anyway, it would have to be somewhere around October 21st, 2015, because that is the momentous day that Marty and Doc Brown chose for their journey through time. And now it's also when the movies are slated to hit the theaters for the franchise's 30th anniversary. Yep, hardcore fans may want to get ready to take those Nike mags out of their display cases and wear them to the screening, because Back to the Future's going back to the big screen.
Oh, cool.
You'll have to ask around, because we don't know which local cinemas are showing it yet, though, since it's unclear how wide the release will be, check your local listings. Collectors will drop big bucks for Back to the Future goods. However, you might want to mark your calendars early one day. Unfortunately, we're not talking about functional hoverboards, though we're hoping the technology gets developed, even if it's for the franchise's 50th anniversary, which we're talking about DVD Blu-ray collection. Universal Pictures is releasing on October 20th, which includes the movie trilogy, the animated series, and the two-hour multi-part documentary.
Oh, cool.
Animated series?
Hey,
did I miss something?
And the Bluetooth set, the Max set, the big one that has all that stuff in it.
Yeah.
You know what the package looks like. I don't even have to tell you. Do you?
A DeLorean?
No, for crying out loud, a flux capacitor.
Oh, yeah.
I love the flux capacitors that you can buy for your car. The chargers that you can stick in that actually
put it in the back armrest. So you fall down the armrest and that's where it goes.
The package is supposed to light up like the flux capacitor and stuff.
So. Mm-hmm. Craig got me a little DeLorean for my birthday a few years ago. It's over there on the shelf. I'm going to have to put that more on prominent display in the studio.
I had the chance to buy a DeLorean a long time ago. I kind of wish I would have now.
Ooh,
hey,
they
were dang expensive
back in the day.
Yes, they were.
I did take Harrison to go see it. They played the Back to the Future, the original one, on the 25th anniversary a few years ago, well, 5 years ago. They played it in the theater, and it was a lot of fun to go see it. And I have to go see it again. Is it all three movies are coming out?
Didn't say. It looked like just the original was coming out, which wouldn't make sense because that one went back to 1955.
Yeah, it'd have to be all of them.
I would hope so.
If not, we all own them, so we'll have to.
I'm setting my calendar for 1955.
It'd be fun to see it in a theater, but to be honest with you, I'd probably just play them, watch them right at home.
The one I want to see in the theater so bad is Pacific Rim.
Did you never?
I said, yeah, that's where I originally saw it, but I want it back in the theater. Because even with my big ass TV I got at home, it doesn't do it justice for seeing it on the big screen.
Nope.
That was an IMAX.
Trying to remember. I think I did see that in the theater. Got to remember. It's tough.
You know, I would love to have a theater nearby.
We went and saw that.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, you and me went and saw that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That must have been like a couple, 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's been a while back.
Now, I know there's theaters that do this, but I would love to have a nice theater around here that would run an old movie like Back to the Future or something like that for a couple of weeks.
The kind that play the piano on the front?
Not that old.
we had several theaters in town here that used to do the older movies. They get the older films for screenings. It was really great, but there just wasn't enough interest in it.
Yeah, you got to have the demand.
Yep.
It's a business.
And there's something to be said for streaming now, because you can go, I want to watch that. Just like Michael was going, UHF, I'll keep it around. Watch it whenever.
They failed because they didn't put couches in and had beer service. You know, that would have solved it.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. We finally got one theater down is it Scottsdale now?
I think so.
That they have couches.
And the dinner comes to you.
Couches. They feed you on the couch, and then you can order from a full bar. And
Michael, like, you had me a couch.
Oh, it's so
that's only
cool.
Been in New Jersey nowhere for at least 5 years. Okay, anyway. We're quick out here. Michael, would you like the final story about Darth Vader's grandmother?
Because this is so cool. Darth Vader leads a funeral procession for a grandmother. This is true.
Oh, I thought it was his grandmother.
Could have been. So 56-year-old Halloween-loving and tarot card-carrying White Witch grandmother Lauren Johnson passed away due to lung cancer last month and was recently laid to rest with Darth Vader leading her funeral procession. What appears to be a very hungover Beetlejuice also attended the service.
how would you tell the difference?
Right?
You can.
Oh, yes.
You can.
Okay. Oh, anyway.
I see him now. Yes.
It's what she would have wanted. Mum's favorite time of the year was Halloween, son Neil Johnson told The Guardian. She always said, you need to celebrate. You need to have a party. So we're not going to sit around feeling sorry for ourselves. My mom would have wanted it that way.
That's how I want to go. I want a party.
And it started a really good conversation on Facebook. Because, you know, exactly. Yep. It should be time for a celebration of life. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I don't want a sob fest. I love all the really cool memes that I've seen. You know, somebody dressed up like Doctor Who with a freaking sonic screwdriver running in going, this is where it gets really weird.
Hopefully she doesn't come back.
Exactly.
My funeral, cosplay welcome.
Exactly.
I'll let you guys decide. I'll be done by then.
By the way, all right, so looking at the article, you scroll down, there's Darth Vader in the church, which that in itself is kind of weird.
I find your faith in this ancient religion.
Look at the second picture. Hey, the second picture, there's Beetlejuice. The Beetlejuice looks like Lydia behind him.
Kind of.
Kind of.
With the witch's hat.
Yeah, it looks like Lydia from Beetlejuice.
Looks like somebody's trying to get out of the way so somebody could take a picture of the guy.
No, not the witch's hat. Behind him.
Behind. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Looks like Winona Ryder.
Yeah, right it does there. Look like Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. I never noticed that.
You mean behind the pointed red hat?
No. Behind Beetlejuice. In the back. In the
see look here? Right.
No, other right. side. Other side. Who no, other right. side. There.
Here?
No, her.
This one.
Yeah.
In the hat.
Yeah.
That's what I said. In the hat. You said
who's
no,
on
no.
first? Who's on first?
Beetlejuice.
Lord.
Anyway.
And look at that guy, the guy all the way to the right in that picture. He's like,
what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not with this group.
We're scaring the straights.
I'm supposed to be in church.
Actually, scroll back up. That hearse. Do we have a picture of the hearse?
Yes.
That is a kick-ass hearse.
It is.
That's the hearse that I want to be buried in right there.
Lots of window space.
Man, that thing's cool.
I want to drive one of those babies through like Sedona or something.
No, I actually want to own that thing.
It looks like somebody took a Ford Taurus and blew up the back end.
It does have a kind of the window lines. They sort of do look like I was thinking the same thing. It looks like there's a car.
It actually looks like my Mazda. Looks like my Mazda 3 with a really extended hatchback on it.
It's got a small car body lines up front. Anyway.
It looks weird, like one of those Hummers that somebody stretched to a limo.
Welcome back to the video. If you're just listening, click through the show notes. You'll see what we're talking about if you haven't already seen this story days, weeks, or months ago. It's worth a revisit. So our question this week, we need question music or something.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Which book have you owned the longest?
Wow. I know.
All right, just think about it.
I know.
You've got till next time to come back with it. We're going to post it on all the social networks and see what we get.
We should give ours.
Why?
Got to wait a whole week?
I don't want to wait a whole week.
I have
to
go look. I don't know what I own.
I know what mine is.
I mean, I can probably name all the books I own on two hands.
Yeah, I know. Mine is from my childhood.
Spit it out.
I got one of those too. Okay, go ahead.
It is it's called The Secret Treehouse. And it was it's a book.
It's a series, isn't it?
No, it's just a one-off, but it's called The Secret Treehouse, and there's a parrot in there it's hard to explain it, but it's cool magic and kids and adventure and
fun.
Secret places. And I mean, it just ignited my imagination.
You just described Star Wars.
Craig, you have one?
Yeah. I think the oldest book I have, and it's packed up, so I have no proof at the moment, but it's either I'm trying to think how far back. I had Indiana Jones, I had Raiders of the Lost Ark, read that book.
Mm.
And I got it from the Scholastic program at school. And Splinter in the Mind's Eye from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I remember that book.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mine is...
it freaked me out because there's Vader standing there in what looks like a cathedral. And you can kind of see Luke and Leia sitting there.
What? Anyway. Vader in church? I can't picture that at all.
Again, that's why it looks so odd. I've seen it before.
It was a premonition. Mine is called... The Stars by H.A. Rey. And if that author's name sounds familiar, it's because he is also the author of Curious George. You are correct.
Oh, wow.
He did a book about how to look at the constellations in a whole new way.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Got it for my 13th birthday. It's even signed by some friends of our family. And even the dog signed it. They cut a clipping of Goliath's hair and taped the black fur in the book.
Poor dog.
Okay.
I'm sure Goliath didn't really care too much at the time. So we want to know, what is the book you've owned the longest? We've heard some interesting tales. If you've got a little background or backstory about your book, or you'd like to share a little synopsis, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call, 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. You got to wait for me to finish. What?
Does the 1972 Playboy count?
That's not a book. Is that a graphic novel?
That could be pulp.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the oldest literature. Excuse me.
Penthouse Forum. That could be pulp fiction.
Before, after they were allowed to show breasts.
We also take email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to put this out on the social network. So we want to hear from you by the next show, which should be in about a week, coming out on the 29th. But we record a few days ahead of time. And like I said, our video is back up and running. If you want to find us on YouTube, go to youtube.com/technoramapodcast. Correct, Craig?
Sure.
I always forget which ones have the podcast on and which ones don't. Because like the Twitter handle doesn't, but other stuff does. I forget.
I'll look into it and let you know.
Just go to the webpage and start clicking around. You just, can't miss.
Just keep refreshing all the pages.
Load all tabs now. That takes care of it for this show. We want to thank Madmar for putting his content on the blog. He does that on a regular basis. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mike, for showing up.
Not a problem.
Always good to have you here.
I still have grout under my fingernails.
So do I. I grouted about a month and a half ago. Thank you to my lovely wife, Donna, for running the video. She's got her job back. That's always encouraging. Gives us a purpose once a week to get together, at least for the show. Until next time, we're on 39 seconds and this thing is a minute long. I lost my place on the music. Usually it's a subliminal thing.
Time to burn.
Thing. Right.
Time to burn.
Yeah. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.